First Thessalonians chapter number 1, continuing our study, looking at this book. I just started it. We gave the background last week, covered the first few verses, and I believe we got down to verse number 7. So, but let's read the chapter once more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you're able, let's stand as we read our scriptures, just in respect to the Word of God tonight. We'll pray and be seated. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray, ask God to bless the service. Luke, why don't you pray for us, please? Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So we're looking at this chapter here in an introduction. We saw an outline, chapter number 1, that the Lord is coming, and what a wonderful truth this is. It is a saving truth. We talked about in verses 1 and 2, we saw the gospel in their prayer. In verse number 3, we saw the gospel in practice. Verse number 4, we saw the gospel in perspective, knowing that one day we're going to be like him. Amen. Verse number 5, the beginning of verse number 5, we saw the gospel in power. The rest of verse number 5, down to verse number 7, we saw the gospel in person. Excuse me. Now we get to verse number 8 and 9. And we found outlined it this way, the gospel in proclamation. I want you to see a couple things here, starting in verse number 8. The first thing we see is the sounding out of their witness. It says in verse number 8, now again, let's kind of jump back into it. Verse number 6, he's rehearsing what happened. They got saved. You saw those three words that we preached on last Sunday morning, faith and love and hope. They became followers. They became disciples and following in their footsteps of Paul and Silas and Timothy and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, as verse number 6 says. And we know what happened in Thessalonica. Jason was arrested. Paul and Silas and Timothy were there. Paul agreed to leave. Silas left. We believe that they left Timothy there to work. But in any case, in verse number 7, they were in samples to all. So in that whole region, their faith is not just something. They didn't make a profession of faith and go back to their ways, all right? Their faith was something that began to speak to their entire community. Then we get to verse number 8, and it says this, the gospel and proclamation. You see the sounding out of their witness. It says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. We see the sounding out of their witness. Paul now rehearses how they had heard the gospel, they had believed the gospel in verse number 6, they lived the gospel in verse number 7, and how that, and here in verse number 8, they were sounding out the word of the Lord. Now that word sounding out, it means resound, to proclaim. It's the Greek word, and you know, I like this in this instance, but the Greek word is the word excheko, all right, which, where we get the word echo, all right? It means they were repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. They were preaching the Word of God. They were sharing the Word of God. It just kept going forth and going forth and going forth. What a blessing that was. Now, Paul had heard of these things, and he mentions here, and they're sounding out, how that they were not ashamed to speak out. It says there in verse number 8, "For from you sounded out the Word of God." They were not ashamed to take every opportunity they could to share faith in God. What a challenge. If someone was writing about you and me and Cazado Baptist Temple, could they say that, boy, from you is sounding out the Word of the Lord? Is it something that we're constantly, we're preaching and sharing? Listen, that doesn't happen in an hour of preaching on a Sunday. That is something that these believers were living and sharing every day of their lives. Can I challenge you this evening to take a challenge this week and share the gospel with someone this week? Share the gospel with them. Tell them about Jesus. Let them know how great He is. Tell them about His sacrifice. Tell them about His love. Tell them the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Echo it. A couple years ago, we were out west and we stood there and we went to the Grand Canyon, which is neat. It's pretty grand. It was nice, all right? But when we were at Camp Verde, Arizona, we were with Brother Don Randall. And that lady that I mentioned, Gloria, on Thursday night, who's very sick, she's a very aged lady and has a whole lot of experience. And she looked at us and she said, "Skip the Grand Canyon." We're like, "How do you go to Arizona and skip the Grand Canyon?" She goes, "Trust me." She goes, "Go to Canyon de Chelly." We're like, "What is Canyon de Chelly?" She said, "Look it up." She goes, "But you need to skip the Grand Canyon." I say, "What did you do?" "I didn't skip the Grand Canyon. Are you serious?" Right? We went to the Grand Canyon. But we did, on the way back, make sure that we went by the Canyon de Chelly. Let me tell you something. Skip the Grand Canyon and go to the Canyon de Chelly. It is just as beautiful, if not more. It's incredible. It's a whole lot less publicized. You can walk around. There's no guardrails, which is really cool yet frightening at the same time. But it was unique. It was incredible. Just beautiful. But we stood there, me and the kids, and you know, we would just holler off the edge and just stand there. And you could just hear whatever you said repeated. You could almost whisper. And you could hear an echo. It was incredible. But that's the idea between what the Thessalonians were doing. They weren't just going out and telling someone about Jesus. They were telling everyone about Him. Everywhere they went. And it wasn't just words. It was their life. They were sounding out. They spoke out. But I think it's important what they spoke out. Look at the verse again. "And from you sounded out." What was it they were sounding out? What is it?
The Word
of the Lord. They were sounding out the Word of the Lord. That has been something that is really in studying for these messages, you know, that has been just on my mind heavy in the last couple weeks. Because it is so important that we as Christians do not forget that that is what we should be sounding out more than anything.
Amen.
The Word of the Lord.
Right.
Because we live in a world of social media, it seems like Christians are every day, some of you, I don't know how you do anything. I mean, there's a post every 10 minutes. You know, it's amazing, right? But you know, we're able to sound out a lot in 2020. And we see a lot of things about a whole lot of things, right? Read a lot of things about politics and vaccines and Bill Gates and viruses and Nancy Pelosi. And If I were to stand up here and read a list of all the things that I've read in the last few days, and I'm not saying don't post things, I'm just saying this. Have you shared the gospel? Have you shared the good news? Have you shared the Word of God? You know, I do our best every day for the church. We put up a scripture. Just put the Word of God out there. We want to share it. We like to talk about everything. You know, Paul didn't say, boy, from use is sounding out how great a man I am. Paul didn't say, from you is sounding out what a great church you have. From you is sounding out how you're being persecuted by the Jews. From you is sounding out how awful Nero is. That wasn't what they were sounding out. What were they sounding out? The word of the Lord. Amen? They were sounding, it was an echo. It was something they were repeating over and over and over and over again. The word of God. The word of God. And listen to me, it was making a difference. We're going to read it here in a second. It was making a huge difference. It was turning that city upside down. It was turning the region upside down. It was turning all of Greece upside down. It was spreading around. Not how great a people Thessalonians were, the word of the Lord. And I just, again, I know this is something that's just kind of been on me lately, so if you'll give me a second to share it, all right? As much as I know there's certain politicians and certain things that we can't stand, be careful. Be careful. Prodding and pushing and trying to be a brawler. Trying to cause an argument. Trying to, you know, well, I want to make my point. Why don't we spend the time sharing the good news? I find it interesting that what we should be doing is preaching the truth. Yeah. You say, well, we live in times. I understand the times. I look at people like Daniel, and when Daniel was being told, right, you're not allowed to pray. Remember that story, Daniel chapter 6? Yeah. Not allowed to pray. So what did he do? Oh, he got on Instagram and said that King Darius is a jerk, right? No, that's not what he did. You know what he did? He just prayed. He just kept doing right. He just kept on doing right. You say, well, he got in trouble. He did. The king brought him in. The king said, are you really doing this? I am. He was never disrespectful to the king. Matter of fact, the king adored him so much because of his testimony, he stayed up all night pacing, worried about Daniel. And the next morning he walked out, rolled the stone away from that den of lions and said, Daniel is the God whom thou servest continually. Pretty good testimony. Yeah. Able to save thee. And Daniel from down there in the den of lions said, King, I can't believe you did this. You're an idiot and God's going to judge you. No. That's not what he said. Actually, he said this, O King, live forever. Right. He showed respect and honor and he made a difference. Jesus said, speak the truth. Amen? Amen. In love. Right. People like to point at John the Baptist and say, well, he put Herod in his place. Actually, the only words recorded in the scriptures that he said is this, it is not lawful for thee to have Herod's wife, your sister's wife, right? Your brother's wife. It's not lawful. It's adultery. Well, to that I would say, amen. I don't see him being disrespectful. I don't see him being angry. He just spoke the truth. Amen. We have an obligation to speak the truth. Continue speaking the truth. Continue speaking the truth as a Christian. Continue speaking the truth as an American. Continue speaking the truth. But you don't have to be a jerk.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Because what Christians are doing is they're stooping down to the world's level, and the world just keeps prodding Christians and trying to get them to lose their temper, and now all of a sudden the world thinks it's okay, and Christians are accepting it, and they're doing it too, and we're just calling people's names. That's childish, and all you're doing is building walls between the people we're supposed to be reaching. Continue preaching the truth. Sound out the word of the Lord. Sound out the truth. Preach it. Share it. The three Hebrew children bow down. They didn't throw a fit. They didn't cause, they didn't riot. You know what they didn't do? They didn't bow down. So then they're brought before the king Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, are you really doing this? He said, king, we're not careful to answer thee. Our God will deliver us, but if not, be it known, we will not bow down and worship your false God. They were respectful. They didn't call him names. They weren't harsh with the king. The king got mad at them, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, something wonderful happened that day. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked in that fiery furnace, he said, there's a fourth person likened to the Son of God. Something had got a hold of him. You remember whenever, and I know I'm repeating for some people that maybe watch other stuff, I've been harping on this heavy, all right? But the fact is this, you remember when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden illegally? Totally illegal. And Peter pulled out his concealed carry weapon. Remember that? And he smote off the ear, right? Jesus looked at Peter and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. No, that's not what happened, was it? He said, put up your sword. He said, do not you know that I could pray right now and bring down 12 legions of angels? And then he reached down and he healed that man's ear. Speak the truth in love. Because if we're not careful, we'll lower ourselves to a level of name-calling and brawling and arguing. And last time I checked, as wicked as some are out there in governmental positions, God wants them to get saved. We started having services. And I'm just sharing this. I probably should mute this right now, probably, but... Can you accidentally turn off the mic? No, I'm just kidding, right? But the fact is this, all right? Brother Ben, when we started having services, there was a camera on me. Didn't show anyone in the auditorium. There were people in the auditorium. There's a verse of scripture, just keep this in mind. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, right? We had services. But I didn't get on channel 12 and say, I challenge Goshen to come and shut me down. I had services. And I got that pattern from Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Jesus, Paul. You say, well, Paul put that one guy in his place. Yeah, remember when he said, smitest thou me, thou whited wall? You know what the next verse says? They looked at him and said, do you not know that's the high priest? You know what the next verse says? Paul says, I wist not. And he apologized, and he said this, it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of those that are in authority.
Amen. Come on.
We studied Timothy, amen?
Yeah.
Bible says to pray for our leaders.
Right.
And not to speak evil about them.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. And I get everybody's arguments, and I'm not telling anyone to compromise. I'm just saying, speak the truth in love.
Yes.
Quit trying to bring up fights and try to push people into corners, and then they come out punching, and we wonder what happened.
Yes.
Just do right. And guess what? We have a God that can take care of things.
Right.
Trust Him. I'm sorry I went off on that, but the fact is this. Jesus said, you're sounding out the word of the Lord. Let me pause and think about something else real quick. Don't worry, it's a different subject. What were they sounding out?
The Lord.
You know, Paul had only been with them a few weeks. Three. Timothy had stayed there for a little while longer. And they're sounding out. Now, before that, most of them were Greeks. They were Gentiles. They didn't have a Jewish background and all the, you know, the Old Testament and things. Yet they're sounding out the word of the Lord. They didn't go to Bible college. They didn't have all kinds of institute classes. How did they, with no previous knowledge, get a testimony for sounding out the word of God? There's only one way. They had spent time, they had listened to what Paul had said, they had listened to Timothy, and they got in the word. And they allowed the Spirit of God to teach them. I want Kazada Baptist Temple, I want Travis Burke, I want you to have this testimony that we are sounding out the word of the Lord. There's only one way it's going to happen. We eat up every time somebody gets up here and preaches. We, every day this week, open up this book, say, God, teach me something. There's only one way we're going to sound it out. We got to learn it. We got to study it. And we got to bring it in. So you see, they sounded out. I got to get moving. They spoke out. You see the sounding out of their witness. You see, number two, the scope of their witness. In verse number 8, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." People were talking about the Thessalonians' faith in every place. That's pretty cool. In other words, Paul, most people agree on this statement, and I do too, that Paul probably penned this book from Corinth. He had waited for Silas and Timothy to join back with him. He went through Athens and just met with great idolatry there. And then he goes to Corinth, and that's no doubt, we don't doubt where they met up with him, and that's where they got the report how the church at Thessalonica was doing from Timothy. But apparently, now listen, apparently, because he says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So apparently, something like this happened. Y'all with me? Apparently something like this happened. Paul walked through Corinth, through the city market, and said, "Excuse me, sir. Do you have a moment for me to share with you about a man named Jesus?" And apparently, that Corinthian looked at him and said, "You mean the one the Thessalonians are talking about?" I mean, apparently that's what was going on, right? So that we need not to speak anything. I'm not being deep. That's what it says, right? I'm having a hard time finding someone to have to introduce this to, because apparently your faith is being talked about. That's a pretty good testimony. I don't know about you, but that's what our church should get eat up with. Amen. Not politics, not, you know, finances and activities and what color the wall is. We ought to be eat up with sharing the gospel. And if anything is coming above that, you need to reprioritize, my friend. Amen. Oh, you're awful quiet on me. You know what that means? We preach longer. All right, yeah, all right. But that's what, everywhere he went. "Excuse me, ma'am. Like to tell you about Jesus who died for you." Oh, someone just landed in a boat here from Thessalonica, and they were talking about this Jesus and how he was crucified. And no doubt Paul said, when Timothy gets there and says, "You're not going to believe how great things are going," Paul said, "Yeah, I do believe it. I've been here for a few weeks, and I keep hearing from people about God." Amen. Because of what was going on in Thessalonica. So you see the scope of their witness. I just see that as a great challenge for us. And then you see the significance of their witness in verse number 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." In other words, these people, he said, everywhere we go, the people are telling us this is just what the verse says. The people are telling us how that you have told them how that we came and shared the gospel with you. And here's their testimony, the significance of their witness, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Idolatry was powerful. Still is. We know from the book of Acts that most of the converts in Thessalonica were Greeks, which means they probably had a background of worshiping false gods like Zeus and Diana. The Romans in history said this about the Greeks, that it is easier to find a god than a man in Athens. They had so much idolatry. And Paul said, it is a wonderful thing that people here and all over in every place are talking about the fact how that you turned away from these idols to serve the living and the true God. What a powerful testimony that is. That verse right there, you could preach probably a series on verse number 9 on what the Christian life is. In a nutshell, there must be a decision made. How ye turn to God. You and I, if we're going to heaven today, is because we made a choice, as was preached this morning. We made a choice to turn away from the life that we knew, to turn away from ourself, and turn to the living and the true God. There's a decision made, and there's a definite change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. It says from the dead, verse number 9, how you turn to God from idols to serve. To serve. People all over the world were talking about how the Thessalonians were once idolaters. But they had made a choice, and their life had changed, and now they're serving the living and the true God. Our life should speak to people. There should be a definite change in our lives. To the child of God, listen to me. Holiness, righteousness, God still expects it. We do not live a holy and a righteous life to obtain anything from God. When God gave us salvation, we got it fully, completely, and eternally. But we should live a holy and a righteous life because God deserves that glory of us. We should want to praise Him. And we should want, now listen to me, people to see our life and see that something has changed. If we walk around and talk just like a lost world and act just like a lost world, and be fully entertained just like the lost world, if we act like them, talk like them, move like them, they ought to see a difference. Amen? They ought to see a difference. Our language should be different than theirs. Our attitude should be different than theirs. We should be a peculiar people. There is a decision made and a definite change in a designated service. Everyone knew they weren't making Paul happy. They weren't trying to do something for Timothy. They weren't doing something to impress the church at Jerusalem. They were serving the living and the true God. They wanted all the honor. If there's anything we're missing today, it's that. In the typical church today in 2020, there's way too much idolatry. Idolatry. No, we don't have statues stacked up on the platform and no one's walking out and kissing a golden toe. Boy, we love our sports. Boy, we love possessions and money, and boy, we love ourselves many times. We keep lifting things up above the precious name of Jesus. We find every excuse we can. And I'm not preaching at you. We're a Sunday night. About everybody's back from this morning. We have a faithful church. Praise the Lord for that. I am not looking down at our church and saying, shame on you. I'm commending our church. I'm just saying, typically speaking, in 2020, the typical Independent Baptist church, if they had 130 this morning, had 30 tonight. And I'm not mad at them. I'm commending you and your faithfulness. I'm commending your faithfulness in service and your faithfulness in giving. I thank the Lord. But sometimes we get in our church and get used to things that we don't realize. One of the great reasons why our world is spiraling out of control is because God's churches have lost their fervency. They've lost their separation. And they're getting filled with idolatry. Filled with idolatry. And I'm thankful that God is using us for all the ministries that He's given us. But let's not take it for granted, and let's not forget who it's for. And let's keep serving a great God, the living and the true God. Amen. Lastly, you see in verse number 10, the gospel and prospect. The gospel and prospect. Paul gets to the main theme now of the book of Thessalonians, and that's the coming of Christ. You see here in verse number 10, he mentions first the rapture. He's going to mention three things here. The rapture, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Now, the full sentence here, for they themselves show us what manner, these are all these different people all over the world, what manner of entering in we had into you. They know all about how we came to you and what happened, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The whole world's talking about how you got saved and how you're serving God. And the whole world's talking about, verse number 10, how you're waiting for his Son. That's a pretty good thing right there. Waiting for his Son. He's talking about the rapture. The idea there is that the word waiting there is to expect something to occur. It's talked about in the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 59, how that the prophet Isaiah prophesied that they could wait for the judgment of the Lord. It was coming. And soon Israel would go through it. Job talked about it in the book of Job, in chapter number 7, how that a person who works waits for his wages. You expect it. You know it's coming. Amen? Another way that we could, you know, kind of interpret that word is to expect something and to act knowing that it's coming. That's the idea of that word. And the best illustration I can give you that I thought of is this. Years ago, Brother Harris and I went to Hungary and spent I don't know how many days with Brother Miss Christensen. Had a wonderful time. First time I've been there, and enjoyed it. First day there, they sent us to the store. Remember that, Miss Christensen? Sent us to the store with a list of things in Hungarian. We had no idea what we were doing, but they were testing us. And we did okay, right? Hardest language I've ever been around. But I do remember now, Kosanum. Yes, all right. It means thank you. All right. But we were there, and on the way back, we've been there, I don't know how long, all right, 10 days or so. And it was over a week. So, you know, this is before we didn't have a whole lot of internet and things like that. And we basically, Brother Christensen gave me between the hours of whatever it was, I could call home very cheap. And a couple days while we were there, I would call in just checking with my wife. But finally, we got headed back, and we flew back over, landed in New York. And I was ready to see my wife. I missed her. She missed me. She was taking care of the kids all by herself. She was waiting for my return. And I called her, and unfortunately, our plane got delayed in New York. You know how hard it is to be gone that entire time, finally get back to the U.S., and they say, you're going to be here a long time. Oh. Supposed to be home, I think, at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Finally got news, and I told her, it looks like I'll be pulling in about 3 to 3:30 in the morning. And she said these words, "I'll wait up for you." Landed in Cincinnati about 2:15. Got in a car, dropped Brother Harris off here at church. Drove to Blanchester. Pulled in at 3987 Westboro Road. And there was a light on in the living room. When I pulled in, the headlights went off. I saw behind the shades a silhouette stand up and walk towards the door. As I approached the door opened. She threw her arms out and she hugged me. She had waited for me. There was an expectation she knew was coming. The Thessalonians were waiting for the Son from heaven. They were expecting His return. They were looking forward to His return. They wanted to be found because they knew it could happen in the center of His will. They wanted to be found. You know why they were continually sounding out the word of the Lord? Because they felt He's coming. He's coming. They wanted to be found faithful. They wanted to do these things. And no, in our world today, and we're going to get into it in the next few weeks, Lord willing, on Sunday nights, there's different thoughts about the rapture and when it's going to take place. Everything from premillennialists to amillennialists to postmillennialists. There is pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. You say, I don't know what any of those things mean. Well, good. All right? If you do know what those things mean, some people believe that the rapture is not going to take place until after the tribulation. Well, apparently they're wrong. Because you're not going to be waiting for something that you know is at least 7 more years away. That just kind of makes sense, right? If it's a mid-trib, then you know it's exactly 3.5 years after the revealing of the Antichrist. Which means you don't have to get ready yet. But a pre-trib rapture demands an imminent return. An expectation that could occur at any moment. And apparently, that's what the Thessalonians believed. And apparently, that's what Paul believed. So apparently, that's what we should believe. Amen? The Lord's coming. The rapture is when He comes for His saints. He then will return later with His saints, 7 years after the rapture. The Lord coming for His saints, the rapture, is an imminent event. It could happen today. The Lord coming with His saints is a dated event. So what do you mean by that? When the tribulation begins, God's clock starts again. The time of Jacob's trouble will be 7 years. The time of God's wrath. And the return of the Lord to this earth with the saints will take place 7 years. After the rapture. There's no need waiting up for an event that you know isn't going to happen. But they were waiting up because they believed it could be any time. Child of God, it could be any time. He mentions the rapture, then he mentions the resurrection. I'm closing. It says, and to wait for His Son from heaven whom He raised from the dead. The resurrection and the rapture are very closely related. Say, how are they closely related? Because the Lord's resurrection is the promise of the resurrection happening at the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 20. Look back at that verse real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 20. Brother Ben, you can put it on the board if you want. People don't have a Bible tonight. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 20, look at this verse with me real quick. Talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He's alive, amen?
Amen.
And become the what? First fruits of them that slept. He is the first fruits. Amen? Because He arose, It is our guarantee that he conquered death in the grave. And one day at the rapture, the first thing that happens when he comes back for the saints, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. He's the first fruits. They believe this. They look for the rapture because of the resurrection. And they knew, and now listen to me, this is another reason why we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, because it was a time of rescue. It says, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen.
You know why we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? Or in other words, why we believe that the Lord's coming for the saints could be at any moment? Because that, his coming for the saints, is to deliver us from the wrath to come. That wrath to come is the 7 years of tribulation. If you don't believe me, look in Revelation chapter number 4. Glance at this real quick. Revelation, it's good to study the Bible. Amen? In Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1, now John gets a message to the seven churches. He delivers that in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Then we get to chapter number 4, and we see a picture of the rapture of the saints. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like it as a trumpet. Amen. When the Lord comes back. Amen. Sound of a trumpet. Talking with me, which said, come up hither. Someday, and it could be tonight. Trumpet's going to sound. Come up hither. What a glorious day that would be. Amen? Then you get the rapture takes place, but what I'm going to show you is in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6 and in verse number 7, it says this, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. I lost my place. Where's my verse at? Oh, no. From the wrath to come. Whoever finds it gets a sucker. What is it? 17. Crystal gets a... Well, no, you're not right yet. Oh, no. Revelation... Oh, yeah. Yeah, 6:17. Look with me in verse number... Let's read verse number 13. The stars of heaven fell into the earth even as a fig tree casteth untimely figs when she is shaken with the mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain in the island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondwoman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, rocks, fall on us and hide from us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So here's the wrath. But praise the Lord, we've been delivered from it.
Amen.
We are promised that in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. That the rapture is going to take place, a guarantee because of the resurrection. And we are going to be delivered from the wrath that is to come.
Amen.
That's why later on in the book of Thessalonians, Paul says, knowing this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, not a whole lot of comfort. You have to sit there and think that there's going to be giant beasts coming with scorpion tails to sting me.
Right.
I don't get a lot of comfort out of that, right? But the reason why it's comforting is because I'm going to be delivered from that. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. That is right now. And I close. For lack of a better term, God's spotlight is on the church. Praise the Lord. But after the rapture, it goes back to the Jews. And the whole point of the tribulation is to get Israel to a place, as the prophet said, that they will eventually look to heaven and say, behold our God. And God will look at them and say, behold my people. Now, a lot of tragic things are going to take place before that event. But for us that are believers, we have a precious promise. That's not for us. We're going to be delivered from that. And I'm thankful for that. The Thessalonians, Paul said this truth. Praise the Lord for it. What a testimony. What a challenge for us. The reality is, 1 John chapter number 3, the reality is, if we really believed and acted on the imminent return of Christ, we'd live a different life than what we live.
Amen.
You know, I've told you this before. My parents, they learned pretty quickly. When they'd leave the house and look at me and my two sisters and say, we'll be back at 2 o'clock, then we started cleaning at 1:55. But when Mom and Dad left and said, we'll be back later, the house better be clean, it changed the way we acted.
Amen. That's right.
The Lord's coming back. And if we really believe it, we ought to live that way. From us should be sounding out the word of the Lord. From us, our faith should be able to be talked about a lost world. How that Christ is the true and the living God.